Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch Pivot Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with Joan Wilmer, an accomplished human resources executive, entrepreneur, community advocate, and public speaker with more than 20 years of experience. Joan is currently a human resources leader at the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve and previously held positions such as the human resources director at American Red Cross and both assistant vice president and president of human resources at Citigroup, among other esteemed positions. Today, Joan is going to share with us a little inside track based off of her expertise in the areas of career and personal development. Welcome to the show, Joan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be with you today.
I am super excited to speak with you today. We have a great episode for you guys, and it is called How to Pivot, Position, and Negotiate Your Way Through Business. So, Joan, you've held multiple senior positions at some of the top for-profit and not-for-profit companies. What do you think your key strengths have been, those things that have contributed to your success personally?
Wow, that's a very deep question, but I'm going to try to keep it very succinct at a Reader Digest version. And that really is, I work very hard. There's a lot that I do to go above and beyond in the tasks that I'm given, whether it's been the most junior position or the most senior position. Everything that I'm asked to do or deliver on, I don't just deliver to what is requested. I always go above and beyond. Some people say, well, what does above and beyond mean? So they can ask me for five things. I'm going to give them eight options. They can ask me to coordinate a meeting. I'm going to coordinate a meeting, and I'm going to research the topic, and I'm going to have background information and prepare my meeting attendees before they actually come in and do all the touch points that will allow for an informed meeting and a productive meeting and things that people wouldn't even think would need to be at a meeting, but makes the meeting more lucrative for all participants. That's just been my style. And that, because I go above and beyond and I put the extra work in, people who look to me think that my work is always at a level of excellence. And I always tell my mentees, never just deliver to what someone asks. Always go above and beyond, because it makes you stand out in the sea of so many who are trying to accomplish the same thing you're trying to accomplish. The other things I think are helpful is making sure that I network and make the right connections. And when I say the right connections, right, not in person, because every connection is important, every relationship is important, but the right connections so that people not only feel comfortable with me as an individual, but their connection with me is with the quality of work. I think sometimes we get confused on the likability factor versus this is someone that I feel comfortable with, but more importantly, their work is stellar and people like to attract themselves to winners. And then last but not least, communication is king, queen, whatever you want to call it. I work on it very much and everything that I do, and I tell everyone that I work with or mentees that it's important to have very succinct communication in your writing, as well as you're speaking to others, especially executives, because most of them only have a minute or two to speak to you anyway, and so you should think through before you start speaking, and it really does make a difference for how people are attracted to want to talk to you and want to work with you, and they feel like you have very thoughtful things to say versus just someone who wants to talk for the sake of talking. It really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, you touched on something, all of the things that you touched on, really, for me, coming from a business professional background, those are all things that I think of when I think of building your personal brand. And now, you know, with social media and everyone being an entrepreneur or an independent person or a freelancer, there's a lot of talk about branding and building a brand and building a brand. For you as an HR professional, where do you think that building your personal brand
let's say, outside of the company, where do you think that ties in, or where would you say that ties in to building your professional brand within the company? Is there overlap? Is that something that people should be thinking about, like building their personal brand, even if they're working in corporate America?
Absolutely, because people are interacting and communicating with each other, even in the corporate world, digitally. And it is making the difference on immediate access and decisions and opportunities each and every day. Let me say this first. Social media, from a personal sense, should be kept very personal. I find too often where individuals will share their social media accounts with their coworkers, someone that they felt incredibly comfortable with, and decide that, oh, this is now my new friend. You never go to work to make a friend. I can't tell that enough. Being in HR, yeah. I can probably tell you some of the funniest but unfortunate things that have happened where people have opened up their personal life to work. If you're going to have a social media account where you're going to speak to the personal, true personal activities of yourself, keep it away from work at every possible means necessary. I even tell and encourage others, don't use your government name. Make up a name. Have fun with it, but just keep it on your own dime and your own watch. And even with that, still use a level of discretion, because somehow, some way, some things do pop out. But I think if you keep it to a minimal and keep it to your true personal circle outside of work, you'll be fine. However, on the other side of the coin, the corporate world is becoming more digital and social. So you see LinkedIn. LinkedIn's providing more opportunities for cross-communication in within professions, across industries. I buy a lot of services and goods for my organization through those who reach out to me to LinkedIn, or for talent. Sometimes people reach out to me for job opportunities, and if I have something, I absolutely tie them into hiring managers or consider them for my team, or even pass them to other HR colleagues that I work with to say consider them. The other ways in which I see social media actually playing a part of just being in the digital world is a lot of people are not using business cards. That's just the way of yesterday. A lot of business executives now have personal web pages or landing pages to help brand themselves and their resumes. They're done very tastefully, very professionally. And sometimes it's just a lot easier to say, let me give you my business card versus please go to my website, which is www.joangwilmer.com. It definitely makes a difference, and it just takes things a cut above. Other sites, again, they're fine personally. I just would not try to blur the lines personally and professionally too much. I really keep them separate because it does make a difference, not only when you're in the workplace, but when you're trying to find a job. No matter what a company says to you and privacy laws, as I've heard that before from new hires, recruiters will look at your social media account. They will Google you. They will see what you're doing. And it's better to be safe and err on the side of discretion and being conservative versus having to explain why you have a certain post or a certain message that has a strong message to a certain targeted group or et cetera, et cetera.
Right. That's very valuable advice, and something that we don't really touch on as much on this podcast. So I'm glad that you are bringing that up, because that is something that's key when you're just thinking about how to navigate and how to make yourself, how to position yourself to be the most successful that you can be in any area of business that you're operating in. So that. Thank you for touching on that. And I know that you have an interest in motivating people to reach their full potential, as well as passing along what you've learned coming from, as I read about you, humble beginnings. So many of our listeners are feeling stuck in their current professional positions. And when in this case, what advice do you typically give to maybe people that you mentor, women that you mentor, that you have relationships with, and that you counsel about, like professional sort of goings on? I don't know.
Well, I think you have to really know yourself in order to decide how to get unstuck. And so often when individuals are trying to find their voice or find their next career or maybe find their next opportunity within a career because maybe something has changed or happened for them, they're just looking for a lifeline, an opportunity, something to pursue without taking a moment to just pause and think, okay, so what do I really want and need at this very moment in my career? I often tell my mentees who have switched jobs, switched careers, take a moment to just figure out yourself. What is it that you really liked in your last role? What is it that you would like to do more of in your future role? And what were some of those lessons learned that you probably should revisit, even if it's painful, so you can think about what environments and situations can you be the most successful? If you don't think about those pieces before you start going out there looking for opportunities, trust me, your energy and your lack of know-how will show with those potential interviewers or companies, et cetera. Two, we often miss some of the, I'd say, tried and true tips around searching for jobs. Taking the time to look at not only within this industry, but to look at those companies that have opportunities that are highly regarded within an industry. So just researching. So if I want to get into marketing, there are tons of lists out there that allow you to see what are the top organizations around the marketing profession. Marketing can be within a corporation. You can work for a marketing agency. You can work for different disciplines of marketing that are creative marketing, communication, branding marketing, business development marketing. There's just so many different ways to address it. And so sometimes if you don't research not only what are the best companies out there, but what are the best opportunities that would allow for you to expand your skill set, maybe build upon what you've done in the past. I might have been a creative marketer, but maybe now I want to focus more on deals and helping organizations build programs and pricing around new products or new markets, and I can transfer my skills into that area. So let me target those types of things. You wouldn't know that existed if you just stayed within your one-dimensional mindset of, well, I left this kind of job, so let me look at this kind of job. And so we limit ourselves. And then I would say the third thing is really tapping into a network. There are so many resumes out there that come HR professionals' ways or a leader that you're trying to connect with on the job. And it really does help when you have someone who can say, let me introduce you to Joan Wilmer, because they know and going to trust an individual that they have a relationship with. So let's say you want to work at Coca-Cola, but you have nobody that you have a connection with at Coca-Cola. Go on LinkedIn, look and see, search Coca-Cola human resources, and it will tell you different leaders, different professionals who are on LinkedIn who work in Coca-Cola, and you'll be able to message them and say, introduce yourself. It's almost like a cover letter. My name is Joan Wilmer. I am interested in your organization. This is why. These are the skill sets I bring. Can I possibly set an informal conversation with you to talk about your organization? Especially if it's a recruiter, they're going to jump at the opportunity. They love that drive. They love the personal outreach. They love when you can talk to them about their company, because to them, those are the hurdles that they often cannot get through before they can get to an actual person's skill set to consider them for the job. And that research and that outreach makes a world of difference. And it may lend itself to a mentor and someone who can help you continuously in your career. I have 8 mentees, and I would tell you over half of them came from LinkedIn.
Now, this is the second time that you've mentioned LinkedIn, so I want to just touch on that for a second, because I actually found myself earlier today sharing one of my, or the guest from this week, I found myself sharing her article on LinkedIn, and it was only because last week I shared an article or I shared a feature for myself, and it got a decent amount of traction. I had never used LinkedIn as a resource, but it just made me think, why don't I? Maybe I should use it more often. So I want to ask you, as a person working in the HR space and constantly being on the search for talent and just being aware of what's out there, how often do you use LinkedIn, and how critical is it to your business now?
Well, we use LinkedIn for multiple platforms, but I would say it is very important. It makes the difference between knowing what's happening in your profession, because as you said, they offer tons of articles and information. I call them brain thrust to help you think about what's current, what's real, things that you could focus on as it relates to your profession. I also use them to post jobs. I have my team, well, not me personally, but I have a team that posts jobs and search for candidates. And they also go on LinkedIn to do surveys. So whether it be a student, a graduate or undergraduate student, or a corporation, we do a lot of surveying through LinkedIn. Now, please don't get me wrong. I do not work for LinkedIn. I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I do want to say that I find it to be a marketplace of information as it relates to people and talent and what's happening in different professions. And then, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a way for candidates to directly connect on jobs and or reach out and build your network. And I think to have all those different points that are self-initiated, self-protected, so it's not like someone's beating down your door. And if you do it right, when you're reaching out to someone else, they're not going to take offense to it, because it has become that level of corporate engagement.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Now, it doesn't replace other organizations. So some professions, like human resources, you have the Society for Human Resource Management. And so it's the information arm for the HR profession, where there are local chapters and national chapters, and that's another way to network. But if you want something real-time, in the moment, quick, where you don't have to wait for a meeting or anything, LinkedIn really does give you that information share, or again, as I say, the brain thrust.
Mm-hmm. I was just reading something the other day that was alluding to the fact that many women have sort of left corporate America, topping out in mid-level management positions, and started their own like businesses or consulting firms due to frustration from like reaching a ceiling. So from your experience, can you share some of the steps that it might take for one to set themselves up to reach that C-suite level?
So, you know, this is a constant topic. Even in corporations who have programs and do things to try to help women, because it really does have to deal with shaping or reshaping a culture and helping to reshape the environment to where there's not only access to opportunities, but opportunities are acted upon for women. So I would say, you know, stepping stones is one, making sure you have an organization that really does speak to and cater to women leaders, who make sure that they are very focused, actively focused, not poster children, but they're actively focused on developing women. You will know that. Why? Because you'll look at their executive teams and you will see that representation. Two, it is also taking the opportunity to take advantage of any programs. Those organizations that take that kind of development seriously will also look at programs to strengthen skills, exposure, et cetera. Take advantage of them, whether it be through your diversity and inclusion office or leadership development programs that often require you to be selected for. It is important for you to have those experiences so that you are being seen, because those programs typically do two things. They're going to build your experience, and they're also going to give you exposure to leaders who may not normally have exposure to you. And then last but not least, you know, things that I've done personally is I make it my business to have what I call my career team. That career team should always include a mentor at or above the level in which I strive to achieve, a sponsor, the person who is going to vouch for, support me at the table when there is discussions about me or talent opportunities. So that sponsor could be a CEO. It could be a direct to the CEO. You always want to look at someone who is going to be a point of influence to get you on the radar of other leaders. And then last but not least in my career team is a champion, someone who's constantly out there, who knows your aspirations. They may not be your mentor, but they know what you're looking for, to where when they're talking about business operations or objectives or their strategy meetings, they know, oh, Joan has an interest in this, or Joan has experience in this, and have you thought about Joan participating in this initiative? They're going to constantly throw your name out. Doesn't mean you're going to get everything they throw your name out for, but it will provide you with an opportunity to be constantly in the minds and hearts of those who make those decisions and can open those doors of opportunity for you.
So that brings me to thinking of when you say having people that are champions for you. Obviously, that makes all the sense in the world. And there has been more of a shift in our culture of women championing each other. So why do you think that there's power in collaboration among women, and why should we utilize that more?
Because I see it happen. I see it happening in the workplace. Whether it be women or minorities, how we move forward and we're able to recognize that the way to increase the presence of each other is to help the next person sit beside you, not sit beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have it backwards.
Right.
It is making sure that that person is sitting beside you and that they have the same access to the same points of information and success to help be successful. And that happens by way of networking with each other, reaching out to each other. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I do this all the time actively, and in some cases it blows their mind because they're like, you want to talk to me? You really want to learn about me? And I always say, yes, why wouldn't I? You represent me, I represent you. So tell me about yourself. Tell me about your career interests. Tell me how this all plays to where you are in the organization and how and where you would like to be in the future. And that has nothing to do with me, but every woman or every person of color who is trying to advance, even if it's outside of the scope of my world in which I manage, I make those connections with them, and I try to understand where they are. That doesn't always happen. I think with women, there's a natural competitiveness because we've been made to feel like we shouldn't have a seat at the table, let alone minorities. So sometimes you find that person who is the one person at the table that they should be the only one person because that's what society or the corporate environment has shaped for you to believe. But that's definitely not the case. And some cultures have really embraced that and taken it by storm. So, for example, there are women who may be Hispanic. I see them increasing their numbers at rapid rates. You know why? Because they work together. Those women do a lot in the workplace, I think, to build network, to provide learning and coaching opportunities to support. I also see it a lot with other cultures where they will link together just because of their culture. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all different. Why not celebrate that, you know, we both are all are Asian or come from Asian background or come from a specific university. How do we make that work for us? How do we ensure that not only are we connected because of this commonality, but we can take that forward with us in our efforts to grow and learn within this organization. And when it comes to opportunities, they tap each other and they give each other, I would say, that stage to grow and learn. And every opportunity Joan Wilmer's had, I couldn't have done it without another woman tapping me saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to grow you. I'm going to take you under my wing. And that is what the difference is when you see women moving and helping and really just supporting and rallying behind each other.
Wow. Do you have any tips for women that are looking to maybe collaborate with other women in their industry, in their field that maybe they admire, but simply don't know how to approach the situation? They don't know how to start that sort of relationship?
I would say find that one person. You know, sometimes I think we try to boil the ocean because we're ambitious and we're like, okay, I got to get started, because you just feel like I got to get started. And I love that energy because you really do get started, but you don't want to put yourself in too quickly out there where you don't develop genuine relationships and connection. So I would say doing things that allow you to find that one person that sticks out to you. You know, I said find commonalities. I just talked about that. You know, whether it be someone that went to your university and you're both alumni, or it's that individual who maybe has worked at similar organizations you have worked at, or a network through church. There's a lot of churches who have started professional networking groups within their church, or they have skill building seminars that focus on skills often leveraged in corporate America. But just find those commonalities to where you would say, you know, I want to get to know Joan. You know, we're both from West Virginia or New York or whatever you want to say, or, you know, we both went to Norfolk State and she's in HR. And I will tell you, every mentee I have, I did not have a connection with before. It was, you know, you're an African American woman. I'm an African American woman. I want to grow. I see you growing. You went to Norfolk State. You went to University of Texas. I see you're part of a Church God in Christ organization. They go down this list because they do their homework and they find that one person. And I will tell you, in every last of my mentoring relationships, I probably have introduced them to 10 people and help their network grow, because that's my responsibility. Every mentor's responsibility to help their mentee's network grow. And through that, I think it just naturally establishes genuine relationships. What you want to avoid is establishing relationships that seem very surface, and that you're just looking for something, because sometimes that's off-putting, and you will find that's the difference in how much time is invested in you from a mentor perspective.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Many of us don't understand our power in professional negotiations, especially when it comes to a position that we might really want, something that we've been having our eyes on and desiring, or if we're making a career switch or a career pivot and it's something that we feel like, oh, this would be great if I had this opportunity. What advice do you have for our listeners regarding negotiations and how to get that job that they really want?
Oh, gosh. We're always negotiating. I feel like when we're negotiating, we're always doing it on points of compromise versus on a point of plan. Let me tell you the difference between the two. When you're trying to get what you want, whether it be the job or the promotion, or maybe get your foot in the door with a new customer or client, we're always thinking about, well, let me take away this, or let me make, you know, this more lean or cost advantage for you, or whatever the case may be, so that you will want me. And often we do it at a point of sacrifice because we think that's the way to get the sale. But really, it's all about the planning. If someone can see that they're going to get a quality product and a quality service and a quality leader, they're going to be willing to pay for it. And if there's a plan that needs to be addressed to get them there to select you and pay for you or to promote you, they would appreciate and often adopt that plan. So let me give you an example. I had a mentee who was trying to step into her manager's role. Her manager decided to leave the workplace, become a full-time mother, and this left open the opportunity for an executive director role. Now, my mentee, she's really good. master's degree, MBA, had about 8 years of experience, really could have used about 10 to 12 years experience before raising her hand for the job. But she was super talented, worked very closely with her leader, and really knew the job, could definitely grow in her experiences, but knew the job. And as a result, when they were considering candidates, they didn't consider her because purely the years of experience, which we often get caught in. So she came to me and she said, "Joan, I really want this job. I know I can do this job. I just want them to try me out." And I said, "Okay, you have to be careful to try me out, because sometimes people get comfortable with the trying period, and the trying period becomes a year and 2 years. Next thing you know, you're still trying. They still don't give you the title and right. the money. So let's get to the point of what does trying look like?" So I sat down with her and devised a plan that she could present to her leadership team. And that plan included a very defined time period where she would serve as the acting executive director. It also included what she would be able to deliver within that time frame, whether it be staff or certain key projects that were getting off the ground or certain client, new client or existing client engagements that needed to be addressed, you name it, all the things that were important that she knew was important to the leadership team, she included in this plan. So she not only went to them and said, "I deserve to be in this role, and I would like for you to consider me for what will it take to get there." She didn't go there with, you know, "I'll do it for cheaper, I'll do it for mm-hmm. less, or try me out and then let me know what you want to do." She went in with the plan that said, "I'm qualified. Let me tell you why I'm qualified. Let me tell you what I understand to be your objectives and needs. And let me outline a plan that will give me the next 90 days in this job to turn around these particular areas of importance to you. And at the end of this, can we please have an evaluation and you consider me, because you really do need a leader right now. You can't leave that position open for chance of trying to find someone and recruit them," which at the time, doing her research, it takes about 92 days to fill jobs here anyway. She reached out to recruitment. She knew it. They were so impressed by the fact that she had such a plan, as if she was managing this project or need for the organization, they gave her the opportunity. Well, she's now the executive director. And it warms my heart, because she was someone I started mentoring over 15 years ago who was a secretary. She's an executive director. And I say that to you to say, in everything that she's done, she's had a plan. That still applies to those who are entrepreneurs who are trying to get in with new clients or develop relationships. What is your plan? How are you going to incrementally build to the level in which you want to work with a customer or a new customer or a new client? You need to do your research and figure out what that plan is. But when you have a plan, it's a little harder to say no.
Yes, that is so key right there. Because that, like you said, it just doesn't give people that easy out. You're coming in with concrete information. I love that.
It's not about what you can take away or make it of cheap value or lesser value to someone else. It's showing, it's knowing and showing your worth. Whether you're an entrepreneur or someone working in a corporation, it's about knowing your worth, and that's okay.
Yeah. So throughout the course of your career, what has been the most useful piece of advice that you've received? I'm sure you give a lot of advice and you have a lot of great gems, because you've shared many of them with us here today. But I want to know, what's a useful piece of advice that's maybe stuck with you throughout your career?
Being authentic. And even in situations where you need or want something, being authentic. To making sure that you treat everyone with the utmost respect and importance, regardless of their role or position. And three, taking the time to really invest in building yourself. And what does that mean? Really is dictated by you. So what is it that you need? What skills do you need? What experiences that you need? Don't look at it as someone's giving you something. Look at it as, I'm investing in a product called self. And there's certain things I need to do to market myself and to show my depth and breadth of experience. So whether that be education, whether it be training, whether it be certifications, whether it be certain job experiences. Remember, I gave the example on marketing, how there's so many facets of it. Wow, wouldn't it be great to say if you've touched a multitude of them? Because then you would understand a complete business model around marketing. I mean, those are the things you need to really take inventory to say, what am I missing and what do I invest in this brand called Self? So that while I'm on the shelf and people are shopping and looking for someone, they know and will want to pick me because I am that strong of a brand.
What an awesome place to wrap this interview up, because you know what? I think you just gave a lot of people some great things to take with themselves and take notes from and to take inventory of and to try and utilize as they continue to forge ahead on this journey toward their greatness. And thank you so much for taking your time with us today, Joan, for sharing all of your expertise and knowledge. And go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you or maybe get in touch with you if they are looking to continue to hear more from you.
Absolutely. If you need any help or connections, you know, I'm here to help because those who helped me really put me in the place I am today, and they still help me. We're all a very closely connected circle, and I think the more we can have in the circle, the more we can all be successful. And that is www.joangwilmer.com. Reach out.
Yes, yes, please do. You can hear from her voice and her demeanor and what you hear on the show today. She is ready to be that inspiration for you guys and that encouragement. She's a wealth of knowledge, so definitely reach out, guys.
As always, thank you guys so much for listening. And if you are feeling like you need your own personal switch, pivot, or quit, feeling stuck or unfulfilled in your day-to-day, be sure to stop by switchpivotorquit.com and you will find the Plot Twist Journal. The Plot Twist Journal is going to be your guide to help you through and get you started on your own personal switch, pivot, or quit journey. And until next time, keep killing it.